Okay, I'll share a few thoughts. Some of these I've shared before. I maybe touch on some things I said last week. I can't remember exactly. And some things that will actually be coming out when we get back into Galatians, I suppose. But a little more focused today and talking about success in 2023 and true success in 2023. You know, where do we go from here? I don't think any of us would have thought things would be like they are now, you know, 5 years ago. And yet here we are. Each year seems to become more interesting, as the old Chinese proverb, which is said to have been a curse, may you live in interesting times. Each year seems to become more challenging. But our sovereign Lord rules and reigns, and we can rest in Him. And so we come to the end of one year and the beginning of another. We face difficult times as individuals, as a church, as a people. As we look about, there appears to be dark clouds on the horizon. There appears to be uncertainty. Brethren, there is uncertainty from the human perspective, but there's no uncertainty from the divine perspective and from the eternal perspective. God knows, and He's working all things together for the good of His people. He's doing what He is determined to be done. And in that sense, I suppose we seek to be successful in the coming year, but we speak of true success. We don't speak as the world speaks of prosperity or popularity or renown. I'm thankful the Lord blesses, has been pleased to bless most of us with good health, but we're not even talking about that. It all comes from His hand. We're talking about, as I mentioned before I started, and I'll mention before I conclude again, is being faithful. Faithfulness. There's a song that keeps coming to my mind. Faith is victory, faith is victory. We sing that, I think. That word faith and made me think about Galatians. We're going to be talking about that too. That word, that same word also speaks of faithfulness. You know, faithfulness is the victory. It's God's grace that we're faithful, but faithfulness on our part by His grace. You know, he that endures to the end, the scripture says, shall be saved. It's not talking about doing some human works, but it's talking about the evidence, the manifestation of God's work. And he, those that are his, endure to the end. He keeps them faithful. Some people, in the world's view, go to extraordinary and unethical sometimes, immoral often lengths, to be successful as the world counts success. You look about in the athletic world and athletes inject themselves with things. And I guess in today's world, to be successful, if you're not successful as a male athlete, you become a female and beat the girls. That's not success. Not by any measure, I don't think. In the business world, we see people, you know, cook the books. People make illegal modifications to equipment. It's supposed to be a competition where everybody's following the rules, you know, but used to be an old saying when I used to follow NASCAR, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't racing. And that often would come out. Insider trading, so-called. And as it's practiced by our political leaders, and we see this big FTX thing, which who wants to even try to unravel that? the scams and schemes. To be successful, people pad their resumes. See that most recent congressman from New York. Yeah, well, no, I never did go to college, but I said I did. Yeah, well, maybe I padded my resume. They don't tell you the whole story about him most places. You know, he claims to be a proud sodomite and have a husband, and I guess he does now. But he, at one time, claimed to be straight and had a wife and kids. That's the world, but success. So you do what you need to do, and you lie and you cheat. You make up stories. They all have. I mean, none have probably done a better or a worse job of that than old white Joe Biden. You know, he had to drop out of the presidential race one time because of all his lies, and yet there he is in the White House now. But you know, payday someday. It may seem like successful. They may seem to be on the top of the world. But it's not going to last. Yeah, and in politics, bribes, payoffs, quid pro quo. It's just amazing. The whole money laundering thing that is called the country of Ukraine. None of these things bring true success. None of these things bring lasting success. If we're going to find success, we have to find it in the Word of God. Here is the owner's manual. I like to read the owner's manuals when I get things. Know how things are supposed to work and what I'm supposed to do. And try to do them that way best I can. It makes sense. Well, God made us. He created us. There's some simple guidelines for success. There's a whole lot more we can elaborate on. But I'm going to emphasize three of them this morning. These are reminders to us. There's nothing new. Shouldn't be anything new. But to have success before God, as he gives us faithfulness by his grace. The first thing I want to talk about this morning, and the scripture talks about much, is fear not. It's a fearful world, I guess, but fear not. Paul wrote to young Timothy, who was pastor of a local church at Ephesus, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's what God gives his people. You know, we live in a day and age, people can't think. There's not much evidence of sound minds, of being able to critically think. You know, Diane always talks about that when she's giving her presentations for Free Florida First, relative to the insanity, the medical insanity that surrounds us now. People give no evidence of having a sound mind. I think God's saints should give that evidence. And I worry for those that don't show it and claim to be his. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now fear, in and of itself, and of the immediate duration, is a common and a natural human emotion. It's a necessary emotion in emergencies. It's a gift of God in that sense. You know, if I'm sticking my hand in someplace, all of a sudden I see a snake or something, I draw back. I don't know if you want to call that fear or not, but reactions. In that sense, it can be seen, depending on how you define it, again, as a gift of God when it's properly utilized. But we are not to be controlled by our fears. We are not to have, as Paul wrote to young Timothy, a spirit of fear. Some people seem to live their lives that way. I know some folks, and I think some of the folks I know personally got themselves in a mess over this whole COVID stuff by just out of a spirit of fear, believing all the fear mongering, they have allowed the pharmaceuticals and the medical people to harm them. Some of them pretty seriously, some of them unto death. We're not to live in a state of fear. We're to live in a state of trust. And there's much that, from the human perspective, could cause fear in the coming days. The American economy is going to fail. There's just no two ways about it. And we try to make provisions and try to act from a sound mind, but there's no guarantee in any of that either. You know, I try to invest in metals or whatever, but there are no guarantees there. I think there is a guarantee the American economy is going to crash. I mean, I can see that. I've got a sound mind. The rising police state, you know, again, they're arresting people for speaking the truth. They're going to be arresting preachers and trying to shut down churches because people speak the truth. What there was left of the so-called constitutional government in the U.S. is essentially gone. Of course, the process began at least with Lincoln in 1860, and even before then, the same folks who wrote it. I've spoken before about, you know, George Washington, who we look up to in some ways, raised an army and invaded Pennsylvania. Our trust can't be in men. There's many things we could look about and could be concerned, and I guess we should be concerned, but to be fearful of, again, gun control. They're going to do what they want to. Doesn't even matter what the Supreme Court. They do what they want to. These states are ignoring the Supreme Court rulings, and Supreme Court's not really the Supreme Court anyway. There's another one. It's not in D.C. The monetary controls, all this digital currency that the state wants to come out with. They want to control you completely. They're pretty close there already. You know, you bank or you use credit, whatever. I mean, they know all that stuff. They want to control you. I was thinking about maybe next week, if I get around to it, in my blog, just talking about the founders revolted against England over taxes. And they weren't even really individual taxes. Now, they got draconian. They'd come into people's houses and see if they got the right stamp and stuff when they bought something or did something. But now, you know, you're supposed to tell the government every cent you make, every place it goes. Founders would not have tolerated that. People think we live in a free land. This whole COVID stuff, it's not going to go away. It's going to wax worse and worse. There's these big cities and big schools, and they're telling kids they've got to start wearing masks. And they're still promoting the jab, even though they know it's killing people. Every day, a new crisis. Every day. A lot of times, I'll watch the local news just to see what's going on. But then I go get my bath or go do something else. And you see ABC News come. Every day, it's always a critical thing. Breaking news! Every day there's breaking news. Every day there's a crisis. There's a panic. God's people don't have to be that way. Fear not. Have a sound mind. Paul wrote this young preacher and tells him not to be afraid. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. God hasn't given us an attitude of fear. The child of God need not fear man or devil. If we walk in obedience to His Word, the owner's manual, we can go forth in genuine confidence, even this year. Psalmist says in Psalm 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" General Stuart would often somewhat paraphrase that as he would tell his men. He would say, "Fear God, men, and you have nothing else to fear. The Lord's on my side." The confidence that ought to be evidenced by a child of God. Now, let the world give us its best shot. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this I will be confident." God knows His people. God makes provisions for His people. Again, General Jackson, in the midst of battle, showed tremendous calm and was questioned about that by one of his aides and said, "My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to always be ready, no matter when it may overtake me." And we all know General Jackson perished during the war. Died by an act of what is called friendly fire. Mistaken for the enemy by his own men. People speculate, well, if Stonewall had lived, then what would have... He died in God's providence. He died in God's time. And we may not always understand it, but we can accept it. We can embrace it. Psalmist again, Psalm 56, verse 4. "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." God counsels His children. The prophet Isaiah 51:12. "I, even I, am He that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And of the Son of Man, which shall be as the grass?" If God's our God, if He's the one that comforts us, why should we fear any man? He's going to pass away. He's going to wither away just like the grass. In Hebrews, Paul writes, Hebrews 13, verse 6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Let that be our testimony this year. You know, let us go forth in such a way. The phrase, and it's really addressed many other times, but the phrase, the two-word phrase, "fear not," is found 63 times in Scripture. One of the ones that I find some great comfort from is in Luke 12 and verse 32, where the Lord said, "Fear not, little flock." We're His little flock. I often say, we're the Lord's little flock in Archer. The Lord said, "Fear not, little flock. For it is God's, fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You've got better things in store. You know, we don't have to fear and worry and fret about the moment. We can confidently obey His revealed will and leave the consequences to Him. As again, Stonewall said, duty is ours, consequences are God's. Follow His revealed will. Trust Him for whatever consequences may come. Psalmist in Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord, do the right thing. Do what you're supposed to. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Prophet Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 17, and Jeremiah suffered some pretty rough times too. At the hands of the people, at the hands of government. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God will provide. Trust Him. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line for the remedy of fear is trusting God. Again, Paul in Romans, and I won't read the whole passage, but we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that. Because God is sovereign. And because God loves us. Nothing, Paul goes on to say, can separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do the right thing. By the grace of God, I want to be faithful. I know I can't do it in my own strength, but I want to be faithful. Do the right thing. Stand for the truth. Don't be swayed by the multitudes, the naysayers. In Exodus, we're told, Exodus 23, verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. So everybody's doing it. Everybody's, I don't know, getting the jab. Everybody's, you know, wearing the mask. Everybody's, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. As I often say, what are they going to do? Send us home to our Father? You know, may not be pleasant to think about that, but where we're going to go is pleasant. The Lord in Matthew 10 said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't worry about those folks. Kind of like the three Hebrew children before Nebuchadnezzar. They said, King, give it your best shot. One way or the other, God's going to take us out of your control. If He determines that we perish in that fire, you can't do anything else to us. And if He determines, we can endure and persevere through that fire. It didn't matter. That's all that king's power extended to. It amounted to nothing. So number one, fear not. I'm going to try to hit all three, but I only got a few minutes left. But number two, shake off your inevitable failures. You know, we're going to fail. We're going to come short. And sometimes I'm sort of a perfectionist, and sometimes if I can't do it perfectly, I don't want to do it, and I get bogged down in those. Listen, God knows that. He knows who you are and what you are. I just wonder why God puts me here. Can he find somebody better? It's his will. It's his concern. Paul wrote in Philippians, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Listen, Paul had some things behind him. He had failed. He had persecuted the Lord's church. He had promoted falsehoods. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Those things we count failures are often part of God's preparatory school. They teach us things. I don't know what I'm supposed to be taught all the time, but the Lord's going to teach it to me. Again, I don't know how God can use me, but He does. We shouldn't dwell upon our failures because they're going to come, but we should learn from them. And again, you can look in history. I was looking at a picture today. Somebody had made a meme. It had like, it says 66 years are between these two pictures. And it was the picture of the Wright brothers and a man on the moon. But before that picture of the Wright brothers having a successful flight, they had multitudes of failures. They kept on. They didn't fail one time, so forget it. You can't do this. Man can't do this. They persisted. We learn from our failures, and by the grace of God, we go on. I often say, you can't unscramble eggs. Far better never to scramble them in the first place. But once they're scrambled, you can't dwell upon them. You can't go back and fix it. Trust God and go on in obedience from where you are. That's what Paul did. He couldn't fix everything that had transpired in the past. He couldn't undo everything. By the grace of God, we go on in obedience from where we are without excuses. We can become paralyzed by our failures. Paul didn't forget his failures. He refers to them. And he refers to them in the light of God's sovereignty and God's grace. But he wasn't paralyzed by them. Well, I did this. God can use people. He's got a plan for everyone, regardless of what fix we're in, if we're His. And it will be manifested. Paul learned from those things in his past. He repented of them. And he went on in obedience to God. He committed himself to strive from where he was and to submit to the will of God. And that's what we're to do. So when we fail, and we will, pick yourself up. Continue on in the right direction. Continue on from where the Lord wants to take you. As I say, you find yourself in the bottom of a hole. The first rule of holes is, if you find yourself in one, quit digging! And a corollary to that, and I've shared this before, story I've appreciated, I'll just basically read it. It's called The Hole. A parable is told of a farmer who owned an old mule. The mule fell into the farmer's well. The farmer heard the mule braying and, after carefully assessing the situation, sympathized with the mule. He decided, however, that neither the mule nor the well were worth the trouble of saving. Instead, he called his neighbors together, told them what had happened, and enlisted them to help haul dirt to bury the old mule in the well and put him out of his misery. Initially, the old mule was hysterical. But the farmer and his neighbors continued shoveling the dirt, which hit him on his back. A thought struck him. It dawned on him that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he should shake it off and step up. This he did, blow after blow. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. No matter how painful the blows or distressing the situation seemed, the old mule fought against panic and just kept right on shaking it off and stepping up. It wasn't long before the old mule, battered and exhausted, stepped triumphantly out of the well. So if you find yourself in a deep hole, stop digging. And if you find yourself in a deep hole and people keep throwing dirt on you, shake it off and step up. Trust God. They mean it for evil, perhaps, but God, if you're one of His, we know means it for good. And I think of Joseph and his brothers. They sold Joseph into slavery. That's kind of a bummer. You know? But God had a plan for it all. And eventually Joseph would testify to his brothers. Not only for his good, but even for the good of those brothers that sold him into slavery. Genesis 15, verse 20, Paul says to those brothers after he had been in slavery and rose to prominence in a foreign government and was able to help overcome a famine, not only for that government, but for his own family. Joseph said, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good." We talked about the evil hands that crucified our Lord. "But God meant it for good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." In many ways, Joseph is, you know, becomes a type, really, of Christ. And we see some of the parallel language there. Our obvious shortcomings should not stop us from doing good, from doing right, shaking it off and stepping up. The old atheist Voltaire, he even could see some things. He said, "The perfect is the enemy of the good." You know, sometimes I understand that. Again, if I can't do this perfect, then, well, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. No. Do good. And I've got a better perspective than Voltaire would ever have. Even in the Empire's military, in the Marine Corps, we would say, do something. Lead, follow, or get the expletive deleted out of the way. Do something. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. I stand there paralyzed by my inability to do the perfect thing. I can't do something perfectly, but I can do it. And the Lord's deigned that. And by His grace, perhaps I can learn to do it better. And I can continue to do it until the Lord sends someone better along to do it. And I'd like for Him to do that, but that's His business. Again, you remember Moses. He was like, "I can't do this. I can't do this. Get somebody else to do it." And we're often that way. Okay, number one, fear not. Number two, shake off our failures and shortcomings. And number three, and I think we talked about some of this last week too, so, is keeping your eyes on the goal. Okay, don't be afraid. Shake off your failures and keep your eyes on the goal. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember why we're here. We're here to glorify God and to do His will. Not to amass possessions and wealth and acclaim. We're here for a purpose. Our Lord, yeah, He's God. He had a perfect perspective of things. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. That wasn't fun. Despising the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We're here for a purpose. And that purpose will ultimately be fulfilled. Paul writes to the saints in Philippi, Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. By His grace, we're to glorify Him. The chief purpose of we Christians in this year and throughout all our life is to openly and willfully glorify God, to keep His commandments, to walk in His ways. That's how we glorify Him. Again, our goal, our success is not fame, is not fortune, but it's obedience, it's faithfulness, it's conformity to His will. And I think again of General Lee as he was asked about the vast resources of the North that he had to face to contend with. He said, at present, I'm not concerned with results. My reliance is in the help of God. God's will ought to be our aim. And I am contented that His designs should be accomplished and not mine. Trust God. Glorify Him. It may seem that the goal is afar. But then as you live into old age, it seems to be closer. But regardless, may we be able to say, by God's grace, with the apostle, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Our goal is not fame and fortune. Our goal is the accomplishment of the will of God, and ultimately the conformity to the image of Christ. Success for the Christian is faithfulness. And that has to come from God. Again, back there reflecting one more verse again from Romans 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Who He knew, who he loved, He predestinated that they'd be conformed to the image of His Son. So we can find success in 2023 by simply following the biblical principles and trusting God to allow us to do that. Trust God, obey His word, learn from our failures, fear not. By His grace, may we continue on from where we are to where we're supposed to be. from the bottom of the hole and all that dirt being thrown on us for stepping up, shaking it off and stepping up. True success, faithfulness to God. May God keep us faithful. Not safe, not prosperous, not even healthy, though I would like that. May God keep us faithful. And as John says at the end of Revelation 22:20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Look unto the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eye on the goal. Trust in Him. By His grace, may we be faithful. Let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 9, "The Rock That Is Higher Than I." Not us, but Him. "The Rock That Is Higher Than I." Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your love. Father, we thank You that Your people need not fear. Why should we fear man? You're on our side. Lord, help us by Your grace to be faithful. Pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and go forward when we stumble, when we fall. Be used of Thee. Lord, to be faithful. Keeping our eyes upon our Savior. By Your grace, may we finish our course. Lord, may we be used of Thee. Lord, help us to understand what true success is. Something the world understands not. Lord, thank You for each other. Pray for our brother Reagan as he's away, for others who visit with us from time to time. Pray, Lord, for those who need Your healing. for those who need your comfort. Lord, we pray for all our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that you sustain us in this year, that you give us courage and wisdom and grace. Lord, that you give us discernment. Lord, that we might have sound minds. Our minds that are molded and shaped by your word. Thank you for your eternal love. Father, thank you for our Savior. Thank you, Lord, as Brother Gregory reminded us that you included me from eternity. Lord, what a blessed thought. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.